Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
Some of us have had some rather devastating things happen to us in 2014. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us have found out that we have cancer. Some of us have lost jobs. Some of us have experienced a tremendous drop in our personal income. We have experienced some devastating things. And those of us who've not experienced devastation in 2014 might well experience it in 2015. Now, as you look back over your life and some of the things you experienced last year, as we gathered together the first Sunday of 2014, you would have never anticipated some of the things that happened to you last year, would you? We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future, right? And so today we're going to look at finding God in your devastation. Because we all, at times, go through devastating circumstances. And so, during those times, we especially need to be able to find God. Now, David was going through an especially devastating time when he wrote Psalm 63. He was fleeing for his life, not from King Saul, which he had to do many times, but from his own son, Absalom, who wanted to murder David and take over his throne. You remember when David sinned with Bathsheba, he opened the door for sin to ravage his family. And as a result of that, Amnon, his son, raped his half-sister Tamar. In retaliation for that rape, Absalom killed Amnon. The result of that, David banished him and was in exile from David for years. Finally, when David did, in an outward appearance, invite him back, he still was not reconciled to him. And so Absalom used his opportunity to gather an army around him. And then, at the appointed time, he raised a rebellion against David. And David had to flee from Jerusalem for his life. And it was at this time, in this devastating circumstance, that he writes this psalm. And I want us to look at it today. And in respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand as I read Psalm 63. God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. And my soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God, and everyone who swears by him will glory. The mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. You may be seated. May God bless the reading and most of all the obeying of His Word. David was going through a devastating situation. He describes his devastation in verses 1 and 2. First, he says that he thirsts for God. David says, I thirst, my soul thirsts for you. Now, this means he was having a deep longing for God. This meant that he was aching, he was hurting, he was crying for God. His own son was out to murder him, to take over his kingdom. And like a man stranded in a desert dying of thirst, David thirsts for God. Next he says he yearns for God. He says, my flesh yearns for you. Again, this idea of longing for God, of this deep soul aching for God. His life is falling apart. He is fleeing for his life as a fugitive. He says, oh God, you are my God. I seek you earnestly. I long for you. And then David says he is spiritually in a dry and weary land. Now David is speaking metaphorically about his soul condition. He is in the Judean wilderness, and it indeed is bare, and it is dry, and it is a true wilderness. And as he looks over the dry barrenness of the Judean wilderness, he says, this is my soul. This is a picture of my soul. I am weary. I am thirsty. I am dry. You see, he longed for God. You know why he longed for God? Because he had no sense of God's presence. You don't thirst when you've just had a big glass of water. Right? You know, you don't yearn when you've already had that satisfaction satisfied. When you have that need satisfied. David yearned thirst for God because in his devastation he couldn't sense God anywhere. It seems in my own experience that in my times of greatest devastation, God seems to be the furthest away. I mean, when I am just really overwhelmed, it's like God's nowhere to be found. When my dad died back in 2001, I remember I couldn't sense God's presence for anything. It's just like my prayers just wouldn't even make it to the ceiling. And I think there's a reason for that. It's because our spirit and our emotions are very closely tied together. And when we get tremendously overwhelmed, or when we're going through a devastating situation, our emotions get totally depleted because they are so overwhelmed, they've just depleted, and you just can't feel hardly anything. You ever notice that? You almost get numb. And so during those times of devastation, though, we need to find God, just as David sought to find God. We need to long for His presence. And that brings us to the main truth that I want you to see this morning. And that is this. In our times of devastation, you can find God by focusing on Him, not on your devastation. Now you may think, preacher, that's so simple. I mean, a first grader ought to realize that. And to that I would say, you're right. But why is it we so seldom apply this truth? I mean, we all know it, right? If you're going to find God in your devastation, you've got to focus on God, not on your devastation. But what we do is we focus on our devastation. That's all we can see. That's all we can think about. And in the process, we miss God. So, the main truth. You want to find God in your devastation, and in finding God, you know what you find? You find soul satisfaction. You've got to focus on Him. Your satisfaction will come when you take time to focus on God. Look in verse 6. He says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Now, David is talking about focusing on God. He's using the word remember. He's using the word meditate. Now, you and I would use words like, I'm going to think about God. I'm going to ponder on God. Maybe even I'm going to contemplate God. Now, if you're a real good Southerner, you'd say, well, I'm going to study on God for a little bit. Right? I'm study on this for a little bit. But you're saying, I'm going to think about God. I'm going to focus on God. So no matter what words you use, the idea is you must focus on God, not on your devastation. You must focus on God when you feel overwhelmed. David focused on God in the night. He says, on my bed, in the night watches. You know why he was doing that? Because he was so overwhelmed, he couldn't sleep. You ever had that? You're so overwhelmed by your circumstances that you can't get to sleep at night. Or if you go to sleep, you end up waking up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep because your devastation is just looming before you. David says, at these times, I'm going to think about God rather than my devastation. When I wake up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep, I'm going to spend that time focusing on God rather than letting my devastation take over. You ever noticed at night everything seems worse? Have you noticed that? Aches and pains seem worse at night, don't they? I mean, you'd say, if I can only get the sunrise, if I can only get the sun here, I'll be better. It's at those very times that we need to focus on God. You know, you lost that job and you're just thinking of everything that can start piling up. The dominoes are starting to fall and you're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your car, and or you're waiting for that biopsy report to come back from the doctor, and you know, and you just can't sleep. We must take advantage of these awake times to focus on God. Turn your thoughts toward Him. Focus on God and you will find true soul satisfaction. Look at what David says in verse 5. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness when I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. Now David is using the analogy of being satisfied with a great meal and having a sense of soul satisfaction. Have you ever noticed how your disposition lifts when you've had a good, satisfying meal? You ever notice that? I mean, mine does. Mine does. I mean, yes. I can be kind of low, and I attribute it to low blood sugar or whatever, but I get me a good meal under my belt, I just feel better. There's a sense of satisfaction. He's saying, you think of the best meal you can imagine to eat, and we all have a favorite meal. And you put that favorite meal down, and you finish eating that, and you think of the satisfaction you feel physically. And he says, when I meditate on God, when I focus on God, I get this kind of soul satisfaction. I mean, when you have filled up on your best meal, you don't want anything else to eat. You ever notice those buffets, how good it looks the first time through? And the second time through, it doesn't look quite as good. The third time through, it doesn't even be hardly at all. And by the fourth time, you don't even want to go past the food anymore, right? Because you're satisfied. He is saying that my soul is satisfied. I'm finding soul satisfaction in God as I meditate on Him, as I think about Him. So let's review now just for a moment. We all experience times of devastation. David did, and we do. But even in those times of devastation, we can find God and soul satisfaction as we focus on God and not our devastation. Well, that brings us to this question. Okay, preacher, you say focus on God. Well, what am I to focus on God about? How do I focus on God? Well, there are certain things I need to be focusing on God. And I say, yes, David gives them to us. Look, first, you are to focus on what God's done for you. Look in verse 2. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. David remembers the sweet times he's had with God in the presence of God, how his soul has just rejoiced in God, and he remembers those times. He said, I'm going to think about those, God, and what you've done. He thinks about the times he's seen the power and glory of God in his life. And I'm reminded of the time he fought Goliath. You know he had the experience of power and glory of God in that experience like hardly ever. As he went against that giant and he said, the battle is the Lord's. You come against me with spear, I come against you in the name of the Lord. And he saw God mightily work. He thought about those times. Think about things God's done for you in the past. Think about the rich times you have had with Him. And those times are yet to come. Think about the difficulties He has brought you through. The past sicknesses He's brought you through. The last time you lost a job, He found another one for you. Think about those things. God was there with you. He will be with you in this one. Focus on these times. Secondly, focus on God's loving kindness. Verses 3 and 4. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. God's loving kindness is His covenant love, His hesed, His committed love, His steadfast love to His people. God has committed to enter into covenant with His own, with His chosen ones. And in entering into that covenant of love, He says, I will never, ever stop loving you. He said, I will always be involved in your life. And David says, that loving kindness is better than life. He says, I wouldn't want to live if I couldn't live with God's steadfast love on my life. And what does that say to you and me? It says we need to focus on God's covenant love. That God chose you from the foundation of the world and He saved you. He sent His Son to die, to take your place on the cross, to be your substitute. And He worked to create within you the faith to believe and saved you. While you were dead in your trespasses and sins, He caused you to be born again. For by grace are we saved. Now God has done that. He's not going to drop you now. He's not going to leave you in your devastation and say, so long, do the best you can do. No, He's done all of that. He is going to continue to be with you. He's entered into that covenant with you, and He's going to never desert you nor forsake you. That's a part of His loving kindness. A part of that covenant commitment that He has to you. So when you're going through that devastation, focus on God's love for you. That covenant, steadfast love, that loved you before the foundation of the world and brought you into His kingdom in His divine time. Thirdly, focus on God as your help. Verse 7. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. Now God, David looks back and he's thinking, God, you've been my help so many times. So many times you've been there and you've helped me. When the lion and the bear came, when I was looking after those sheep, you were my help. When Saul took that spear and tried to pin me to the wall, you were my help and allowed me to escape. When Saul sent his soldiers to my house to capture me when I came home to my wife, you were my help and you delivered me. You saved me. When I was there in the mountains and the soldiers of Saul had surrounded me and it looked like we were undone and it looked like it was hopeless, you caused Saul to hear that the Philistines were invading, and so they left. You helped me. You freed me. And even though Absalom is out to kill me, I will get under your wings, God, and sing for joy. Focus on God as your help. Think of the times that He's helped you and brought you through difficulties. And God helped you then, and He will help you now. Next, focus on God as your sustainer. Verse 8. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. I really like this picture. David held on to God for dear life. I cling to you. But it was God that held David. You see that? My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. David knew his soul was prone to wander. He was tired. He was weary. He was wanting to give up and quit. He knew it was God who kept him faithful. He did all he could to hang on to God, but he knew it did not depend on his strength. It was God who upheld him. You grab a hold of God with everything you got, but buddy, let me tell you, it's God who's holding you up. He's going to keep you faithful. He is going to give you the strength you do not have in yourself. God will not let you go. He will not drop you. He is your sustainer. He will sustain you. Focus on the one who upholds you in your devastation. And then fifth, we need to focus on God as our protector. In verse 9, for those who seek my life to destroy it will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes, but the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory. The mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. David focused on God as his protector. He knew it was God who would keep him safe, as he had done so many times previously in his experiences. When Saul was out to kill him, constantly after him, but God continued to protect him. He knew God would protect his life and his reputation. David had years earlier penned these words, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam. You know what he's saying? He's saying, though the world's falling apart, I mean, the mountains are falling into the ocean, we're not going to be afraid. Why? For the God of Jacob is with us. He is our refuge. Look to God as your protector. Focus on Him as your spiritual protector. Satan is out to get you, but God is your protector. You may feel under great spiritual attack, but flee to God as your protector. Focus on Him. He is your refuge. He is your mighty fortress. You're going to experience times of devastation. But when you do, focus on God, not on your devastation. Focus on what God has done for you. Focus on God as your sustainer. Focus on God as your help. Focus on God as your protector. Focus on His loving kindness. And you will find your soul satisfaction, which is God. No matter what's happening, no matter how bad the outward circumstances are, you can find God, you can find soul satisfaction as you focus on Him. Hudson Taylor, pioneer missionary back in the 1800s to China, he knew what it was to experience devastation. One time in particular, he was experiencing devastation just after the birth of his son. His wife had cholera, and because of this, she was too sick to be able to nurse their baby. And for whatever reason, there was no other sustenance that could be had for this baby, and this baby starved to death because she couldn't feed him. Mothers, imagine how she must have felt seeing her baby dwindle and die because she was too sick to be able to nurse him. After the loss of this baby and her cholera, she became so down that she also died herself. Hudson Taylor was devastated. He wrote a letter to his mother, saying, God and God only knew what my dear wife was to me. He knew how the light of my eyes and the joy of my heart were in her. Soon after this, Hudson Taylor himself became sick and he was confined to his room. And he wrote in his journal, how lonesome were the weary hours confined to my room. How I missed my dear wife and the voices of my children far away in England. Then I understood why the Lord had made the passage so real to me. Whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. He went on to say, 20 times a day, perhaps as I felt my heart thirsting, this heart thirst coming back, I'd cry to Him, but Lord, You promised. You promised me I should never thirst. And whenever I cried out to the Lord, He said, immediately, as He promised, He would satisfy my sorrowing heart. David found soul satisfaction by focusing on God and His devastation. You will be able to find soul satisfaction in your devastation as you focus on God. Let's pray.
We do welcome you, and I'm glad that you have taken the opportunity to listen to a sermon on our internet. And I want you just to know that everybody in the church is not like me. I have these fellows up here, our leadership team. This is Filiberto Medina, who is our Hispanic pastor. And our Hispanic congregation meets every Sunday evening at 6:30. This is Paul Kumar. He is our Minister of Community Connections. And to my left is Mark Baker, who heads up our Reformers Unanimous Ministry, which is a Christian addiction recovery program that meets every Friday night at 7 o'clock. So if you live in the Mableton area, and it doesn't matter what race you're from, it doesn't matter your cultural background, I want you to know you are welcome at Westside Church. This is where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord. Hope you'll join us soon.
Thank you for being with us for this message. Each week, Dr. Stewart gives practical applications and ways to live out the Word of God. If you would like more information, please take a moment to view our website at wbcfamily.org. That's wbcfamily.org.